Well, I'd encourage you to open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 64. Isaiah chapter 64. We'll be reading verses 8 through 12 for the base of our lesson this evening. Isaiah 64, verse 8. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. And all we are the work of your hand. Do not be furious, O Lord, nor remember iniquity forever. Indeed, please look, we all are your people. Your holy cities are a wilderness, Zion is a wilderness, Jerusalem a desolation. Our holy and beautiful temple, where our fathers praised you, is burned up with fire, and all our pleasant things are laid waste. Will you restrain yourself because of these things, O Lord? Will you hold your peace and afflict us very severely? We know that God's people in the days of old were very unstable from time to time. Sometimes they were right on the money trying to serve God, and sometimes they were way off from it, and they were hot and they were cold. They'd do wrong and they'd repent. God would call them back and they'd repent. They'd do wrong and they'd turn away from God. But when things were going good and when things were as they ought to be, when the people of God were listening to Him, and so sacrifices were being made appropriately by the priests, the people were bringing their offerings and doing them as they should, they were listening to God, their marriages and their homes and their work and their worship was what it should have been, it was a pleasant thing that Israel could be able to do that. And in verse 11 there, he says, our holy and beautiful temple where our fathers praised you is burned up with fire, and all our pleasant things are laid waste. You know, it is a good and pleasant thing to be able to know that someone is serving God, that things are going in the right direction, that God is seeing what we're doing, and that what we're doing is that which is right in the sight of God. And the things that are consisting within our worship and our work and our daily lives, it's a good thing to know that things are going in the right direction. And so I want to take this, the thought of this verse, and all our pleasant things are laid waste. And think about the fact that the day and time in which we live and the society in which we live right now, in the last 75 years, this nation and the people of this nation has been blessed more materially and financially than any other nation on earth is in history records. We've been blessed with so many things physically and materially, our homes, the cars, our air-conditioned buildings, the good and pleasant things that we enjoy. But even with all those things that we have materially and physically that are so good, it seems that you talk to people about spiritual things and you hear people talk about life and the way things are, you hear so many negative things. It seems like people talk about things that are not so pleasant to hear. They want to talk about the things that are bothering them. They want to talk about the negatives all the time. And so, as we've been talking about in our Sunday morning class the last two Sundays with Alan, about growing spiritually and growing up in Christ and continuing to go forward, when we as Christians think about who we are and what God has done for us, we need to stop from day to day and think about the good and pleasant things that we have. It would be easy enough just to think about things maybe that are not going right, or something's going wrong in someone else's life, or the questions and the troubles we may face from day to day, or the trials and troubles we face. We can let ourselves get burdened down with that and just throw our hands up and say, what's the use, if we want to? But there's no need of doing that, because the Bible talks about pleasant things in different places in the Bible, the old and the new. And this evening I'd like to take just a few minutes and talk about some of the things the Bible mentions as being pleasant things. And so we mentioned pleasant things there in Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 11. So that phrase, pleasant things, is nothing new. It's hundreds of years old. When you think about good and pleasant things and the blessings we have, then we ought to concentrate on those that will help us every day to have a better attitude perhaps, and to be able to appreciate more of the spiritual blessings we have, the material blessings we have, and everything that we have that come from God. Let's talk about some of the things in the Bible that's referred to as pleasant things. Psalms chapter 133 and verse 1 If you will, turn there and let's look at that. Psalms 133 and verse 1. The Bible speaks of things that are the unity of believers. Psalms 133 and verse 1. Let's turn over there. He says, "Oh, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." It's a pleasant thing. It's a good and pleasant thing for people to dwell together in unity. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, we see that in the New Testament, the Bible expects us as Christians to be people who are of the same mind, that we ought to be of the same spirit, that we ought to get along with one accord with one another in Christ. And it's a good and pleasant thing when you see brothers and sisters in Christ getting along together and serving God and doing His will, getting along and obeying God. It's a pleasant thing. But when there's discord in the congregation, when there's discord among believers, trouble arises. And so, so many times congregations struggle. People get discouraged and leave, or brethren have dissension and there's a falling away. Because unity of faith no longer is there between brothers and sisters in Christ. So we see that in Psalms 133 and verse 1, "Oh, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." So being of one mind, getting along together in the church is a good thing. It's a pleasant thing. And I know everyone in the building tonight as Christians wants to get along, wants to have unity, wants to see that things that are good and pleasant. And one of those things is that when we get together and we serve God with the same mind, the same spirit, and we have the right love toward one another, the right love toward God and toward the church, it is a good thing. It is a pleasant thing, and we can have that in the church today. Look over in Philippians chapter 1, and let's look at verse 27. There we see the Apostle Paul in speaking of having unity. And talking about the pleasantness and the goodness of having unity in the church. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27. Paul says, "Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." So it's a good and pleasant thing for us to get along as brothers and sisters in Christ, in the faith, serving God, doing what's right, striving together to have peace and unity. It's a pleasant thing. Look at chapter 2 and verse 2 there in Philippians. He says, "Fulfill my joy, being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind." So it's up to me and it's up to you to have peace with God, and peace with ourselves, and knowing that we're doing what's right in the sight of God, so that we can have peace with one another, so that we can get along with one another. It's a good and pleasant thing when we can get along. It's a bad thing when brethren have to fuss and fight and have dissension. And most of the time, it's not over doctrinal issues. Most of the time, it's just over some personal favoritism, or over some personal, "I'd rather have it this way than your way." And people can't get along. So it's a good thing and a pleasant thing. So if we want to have happiness, if we want to be joyful, if we want to have some pleasant days in the church, we need to work toward having the same mind, the same spirit, standing for the truth that's in the gospel, all of us striving to obey it, and then learning to get along with one another. The unity of believers is a good and pleasant thing. Well, let's go to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 16 and notice what Paul said about walking by the same rule. That's how we have a pleasant time with one another in the church, is when we walk by the same rule, and that rule is following God's Word, as we mentioned this morning. Philippians 3 and verse 16 says, "Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind." So, this congregation at Beulah, to me, is a pleasant place to worship God, because most people try to get along together. Most every one of you care for one another. Spiritual, we care about one another spiritually. We care about one another physically, of our physical needs. And so we're the same mind of wanting to go to heaven, of wanting to follow the gospel, the truth of the gospel. Working together for the truth is a good and pleasant thing when we do that. The next thing we'll look at this evening is, secondly, as we see that certainly another thing is found in Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 10. Turn back to the Old Testament. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 10, we see that wisdom and knowledge is a pleasant thing. The wise man, Solomon, when he was writing the book of Proverbs and noting things that are pleasant, he mentioned it at least twice in this book. And we go then to Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 10. He says, when wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul. Wisdom and knowledge is a pleasant thing. So the knowledge we need to achieve is that which comes from God. That's the knowledge we seek, is that which comes from God. The Apostle Paul prayed in Colossians 1, verses 9 and 10, and we'll look at those verses in a few minutes. The Apostle Paul prayed there that the church at Colossae might be filled with knowledge and understanding, and he's talking about the knowledge and understanding that comes from God. Well, in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 18, the Apostle Paul also talked about that wisdom and knowledge that come from God is the best kind of knowledge, is the best kind of wisdom, and it's the only kind of wisdom that can guide us into eternal truth and eternal life and obeying God. So a pleasant thing is wisdom and knowledge when it's used correctly. Go back to Proverbs. If you're still there, go to chapter 3 and verse 17. It's talking about finding wisdom. Back up in the verses previous to this. Is happy as a man who finds wisdom. Verse 13, and the man who gains understanding. Talks about the value of wisdom and understanding. And then there in verse 17 it says, her ways are ways of pleasantness. So if you seek after the wisdom of God through having a knowledge of His Word, and I seek after God's wisdom in having a knowledge of His Word, we can apply that to our life. And what it will do when we obey what God has told us, knowing what He wants us to do, it'll make us a better person. It'll make us better people. And when it does that, we're going to have a pleasant thing. We're going to have wisdom and knowledge, and we're going to use it correctly. It's not the wisdom and knowledge of mankind. It's not the wisdom and knowledge of the things of the world that causes a pleasant life. Although those things can be useful when they're applied correctly, the wisdom we're seeking is that wisdom which is from above, that comes down from the Father of light, that we gain from a study of His Word. So it's a pleasant thing when we can gain wisdom and knowledge from God and apply it to our life, and it makes our life better as individuals. It makes our life better in the home. It makes congregations stronger and better, because we're not just always in a having the attitude that, oh, so things are so bad. It makes for a good and pleasant time, and God would want us to do that in our life as Christians, to enjoy serving Him, enjoy doing His will. Wisdom and knowledge then is a pleasant thing. Thirdly, tonight we see that over in 2 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 23 and 26, that one of the pleasant things that's talked about in the Bible is some people are pleasant. Some people. In this case, it was Jonathan. Jonathan was spoken of as being a pleasant person. You know, I don't think any of us wants to be around someone not very long at a time anyway that's unpleasant. We don't want to be around someone very long at a time that's rude. We don't want to be around someone very long at a time that's selfish and self-centered. We want to be around people that are good to be around. And other Christians are good to be around, because most time other Christians are good people. They have a pleasant atmosphere about them, a pleasant attitude, a pleasant demeanor. But Jonathan then, in 2 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 23 and verse 26, was spoken of as being a pleasant man. David said of Jonathan there, he said, you have been very pleasant to me. So being around people who are pleasant, that would be people who are courteous, people who are kind, people who are thoughtful, people who put others first, people who care about doing what's right, people who care about putting right and proper things out front, and having those things involved in their life, that those are pleasant people. Being around unpleasant people is not a very good thing. We know that. Sometimes, maybe over the years, you may have worked with someone Or maybe you were a student in school with a fellow student that wasn't a very good person to be around. Have you ever been around someone that every time you see them, they're always complaining? They always come to you and say, well, this is bad. If it's sunshining, it's too hot. If it's raining, it's too wet. If it's wintertime, it's too cold. And so whatever it is, it's just a bad atmosphere. So, but some people are noted as pleasant people. And our manner of life then that we have in God and in Christ and doing His will can make us pleasant people to be around. That people won't want to run away from us, but they'll enjoy spending some time with us and talking with us and having a good relationship. And Christians need that if we're going to convert the world. We need to be like the Bible speaks of some people being, specifically Jonathan, a pleasant person, one that's good to be around. Sometimes we think about pleasant people, and it may be our wives that are pleasant to us, or our husband, or our children, and all of the above should be pleasant to us as family members. Brothers and sisters in Christ, when we think of our brothers and sisters in Christ, we should think of it as a pleasant experience to be together with one another, to sing, to pray, to worship, to work together, to talk together, to keep up with each other and talk to each other during the week. It ought to be a pleasant thing to make contact with one another and see one another from day to day. Pleasant things, little things that people do. Maybe someone just calls to see how you're doing. Maybe you've been sick and they call just to check on you. Or they just send you a card. Or they send you a note. Or perhaps someone is sick and the wife or the mother is sick and someone brings some food over and they do something good for you. That's a good and pleasant thing that came from a good and pleasant person. So we need to be the kind of people that are pleasant to be around, that others will appreciate and can know that we are serving God and doing His will. Another thing that's good and pleasant is spoken of in the Bible. If you look to Psalms chapter 135 and verse 3, is the singing of praises. I think everyone at Beulah enjoys singing. Debbie and I was talking a little bit after the classes today, and we were talking about after the services today, and he mentioned a certain song. And we were talking about the tune of that song and the different parts that were in that song. And I made reference to him. I said, it'd be good just to have an hour sometime on a weeknight to get together on a Wednesday night or something and just work on songs. It's good that we sing on the first Sunday night, but sometimes it'd be good to have a Wednesday night or another night we could come together and actually talk about songs and sing those songs together and work on different parts, so that different people who sing different parts can learn to sing together. The bass can learn to sing together. The sopranos can learn to sing together. The altos can do that. Singing praises to God is a good thing. It's a good thing. It's a pleasant thing. Psalms 135 and verse 3. If you're there, let's look at that verse. Psalms 135 and verse 3. If I can find that. I'll get me some new glasses one day so I can look through a little bit quicker. Psalms 135 and verse 3. And I hope we don't get in the wrong chapter. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises to His name, for it is pleasant. Singing is a good thing. Psalms 147 and verse 1. Turn over there. Psalms 147 and verse 1. When we think about singing praises. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is beautiful. Singing is one of the parts of our worship. It's not the only part, and one part is not necessarily any more important than others. They're all just as important. And so singing then is a vital part. So it ought to be something that we enjoy. It ought to be something that we want to do. It ought to be something we can do, and we feel good about it, because it's a pleasant thing to sing together, to sing praises to one another. So look to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 15. The Apostle Paul addressed a number of things when he wrote to the church at Corinth in the order of worship. He talked about teaching. He talked about the assembly. He talked about the different thing that's done in the worship. But here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 15, notice what he said. He said, "What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit, and I also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit. I will also sing with the understanding. So singing is important to us as Christians. We're opening our mouths and our hearts, and we're singing praises to God. We're giving Him the honor and glory. We're teaching and edifying one another. We're exhorting one another. So it ought to be a pleasant thing. It ought to be a good thing. It should never be a drudgery to sit through a song service. We ought to be able to enjoy that. Singing then, singing praise to God, is one of the things that's pleasant in our life. If you will then, let's go back and to another point. And he says over in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 26, another thing that's present are the words of the pure. We've talked about having a good attitude, not complaining, getting along with one another, having unity, be of the same mind. If we're serving God and doing His will, we can be people who have our minds placed on the right things. We're thinking on things above. We're thinking on pure thoughts and good thoughts and right thoughts and just thoughts and thoughts that God would have us to think. So the words of the pure is a pleasant thing. Here in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 26, he says, the thoughts of the wicked, and notice he draws a comparison, the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant. Look at chapter 16 and verse 24. 16 and verse 24 said, pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. It may be sometimes that we have to get a little bit stern with someone, or someone may have to get stern with us for a certain reason. But the thing is, if we speak the right words at the right time with the right attitude, then if you think before we speak and we do it in that manner, something good is going to come from it. And if we think before we speak and we speak the thing that's good and appropriate, and we be careful how we say it, with the attitude with which we say it, and the temperament with which we approach it, when we do those things, we can see then that our mind is pure, our thoughts are pure, and the words we say will be appropriate. And I think that's one of the things we're seeing here, that appropriate words are pleasant. Words that are pure, words that are in keeping with God's will, things that are said in a good and honest manner. So remember, the words of the pure are pleasant. And how are we going to do that? How are we going to speak pure words? How are we going to be pure and speak correctly? We're going to have God in our life, God in our heart. We're going to speak from a pure and clean heart. Think of the things that are good in the sight of God. Well, something else that's good and pleasant. We go to Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 20, and we see that a pleasant thing is a child. Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 20. There God asked, when he's talking about Ephraim, the part of the children of Israel, concerning those people, he said, is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a pleasant child? I made a note on here that at this time God was concerned about the tribe of Ephraim. And he spoke of them as his dear son. And he asked in that reference, he said, is he, Ephraim, a pleasant child? He was concerned about his people, the children of Israel. Each tribe God was concerned about. He was concerned about each one. But one thing God wants His people to be is He wants them to be pleasant. And so there's something good about a little child. A little child is demeanor of a little child, a little baby, and little children. They may be disobedient to a certain extent and have to be disciplined. And there may be times when they whine a little bit because they feel bad or they're going through the learning process. But there's nothing more pleasant than a little child. When you look at a little child and their innocence, their wide eyes and their alertness and their willing to listen and learn, there's nothing more pleasant than a little child and the humility of a child. So he says there that is he a pleasant child? Well, it doesn't matter if it's the tribe of one of the tribes of Israel or if it's one of us today as children in the kingdom of God as Christians. Doesn't matter if we're a grown person that's a child of God. Doesn't matter if it's a little child that's growing up and hasn't yet reached the age of accountability. We need to think about, are we a pleasant child of God whatever realm of life we're in. Are we a pleasant child of God when it comes to the fact that are we doing His will? Are we easy to be around? Are we easy to be approached? Are we willing to talk to other people? And so the idea of keeping our life in obedience to God. Children that are obedient, Paul talked about in Ephesians chapter 5 and 6 about children who need to obey their parents. Little children who obey their parents is a pleasant child to be around. Children who care about things that are good and right, they are pleasant to be around. Grown people who are children of God, like we are, we ought to be pleasant to be around because we're obedient to our Father. We're obedient to God. So, are we pleasant in our life when it comes to our relationship with God? Are we doing His will and striving to make Him happy in the things that we do? Well, turn to Malachi chapter 3 and verse 4. And we're going to be looking at one of our last points of the lesson here in just a minute. But before we do, we'll think just a little bit about good and pleasant things. There are so many things in life that can beset us. There are so many things in life that can go wrong, that can hurt us and make us feel bad. It may be that it's a physical problem. Maybe we're facing some kind of sickness, or someone family member's facing something, and we're going through a trouble and trying time. Those things are going to be a part of life. It may be the loss of a loved one. It may be an issue that we're having to deal with. A friend of mine a few years ago, he had a very good job, and he lost it. And he put him in a very hard financial strain. But he worked through it. He got through it. And so what he did, he made the best out of a bad situation. He got through it. That same friend that lost that job, he not only lost his job, but he lost all of his retirement just about. Something went wrong. He lost just about all of it. And he had worked hard all of his life. But you know, in all that, when bad things were going on, when he was facing all kind of difficulties, I was around that man for years, and we talked about his situation. We talked about what had happened to him, the things he had lost. And so, he never once lost his faith. He never once gave up. He always tried to look on the bright side of life. He always said, well, I made it once, I can make some more again. I may have lost this, but we'll get by some way. Later on, his wife was diagnosed with a terrible disease. And they're still fighting struggles and fighting troubles in their life. But their attitude is good. I saw him the other day, and he seemed to be in good spirits. He seemed like things are going well. And so here he is. Things around him and things that have happened to him have been negative sometimes. They've been hard for him. But his attitude means a lot. His wife's attitude means a lot. But more than that, their faith in God and their determination to go to heaven by doing God's will makes them pleasant people to be around. Pleasant things in life. Let's try to dwell on good and pleasant things as much as we can, and it'll help us get through those hard days. It'll help us climb those mountains. All of you have a lot of pleasant memories about things and pleasant people you like to be around. We need to draw on that sometimes instead of drawing on the bad. Instead of woe is me, think about, well, how good and pleasant it is to think about these people or these things that happened. Good and pleasant things. I was thinking about studying this lesson about the good and pleasant things over the years attending services here at Beulah when Helen and I were just very young. Older people. Old people like I am. Those older men and women, brothers and sisters in Christ, that encourage you and lead you along, and the things we did, the things we enjoyed, the pleasant memories of good people, good Bible studies, good singings, people that care about each other. Those are some good and pleasant times. I mentioned Jerry Hendricks this morning. I'll mention him again tonight since he's here. He may not be able to hear. He wears a hearing aid if you don't know, so he may not hear what I'm saying. But they were starting a small congregation in this county years ago. I'm going to say it was 45, 50 years ago. in a little side of a store building in a little side shed. Remember that, Jerry? And they asked me to come preach. So Helen and I went over a few Sundays and preached for them. It was about 8 or 10 people starting a congregation. We went over and preached. And it was cold in the winter. Real cold in that building. Very little lighting. But it wasn't long. A few people was baptized. A few people came along. And they moved over the road and built a building. Built a building. Got up to several people, I'd say 45, 50, 60 people at one time. And, oh, those are some pleasant memories. To think about being around people. Even when you go and there's only 8 or 10 people, and there you are with those people that are pleasant memories. Pleasant memories. Let's think about the good time. Let's think about the pleasant memories. And most of all, then think about how good and pleasant it'll be. How good and pleasant it'll be to go to heaven when this life is over. God gives us so many things to appreciate. To appreciate. Good and pleasant things. You think about little girls and boys that are old enough to understand the Scriptures. And you watch them be baptized into Christ when they're 12 or 13 years old. When you see 3 or 4 teenagers come up and obey the gospel on one Sunday evening. And they're 15, 16, and 17 years old. Baptized into Christ. When you see an old man that's nearly 80 years old get down into a baptistry and he's baptized into Christ. When you see an old fellow that's lived in been in a denomination all of his life and he's way up almost 80 years old and he's baptized into Christ. When you see those things. When you see men and women that are husbands and wives and they're both baptized at the same time, rendering obedience to the gospel. That's some good and pleasant times. Good and pleasant times. When you see someone that spends a lifetime in the military and they stray away from God and they come back and never was baptized before, raised in denomination, and they come and they hear the gospel. They study and they learn and they're baptized into Christ. Older, but baptized into Christ. Live faithfully for several years and then die in Christ. That's a pleasant thing. Pleasant thing. A pleasant thing. We went to someone who had a 50th wedding anniversary today. Went to see those people. Had been married 50 years. It was a pleasant thing to be around that man and woman. Good and pleasant things. Marriages that last. The marriage that we have with God and with Christ. Christ is the head and we're in the church and we're part of the kingdom. That's a pleasant thing to know that Christ is the head over the church and all things to it. We're a part of His body. We are His. We belong to Him. And we need to keep that faithful relationship. It's a pleasant thing to be a child of God. It's a good thing. Well, the Bible speaks of one other thing that's mentioned as pleasant, and there may be others that are mentioned. I don't know. Probably are. But here's one last thing we'll look at tonight. The Bible speaks of our offerings, or the offerings of those who offer things to God as being pleasant. Go to Malachi chapter 3 and verse 4. Last book in the New Old Testament. And we're going to see that certainly our offerings are important. The offerings of the people of old were important. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 4. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord as in the days of old. When you think about offering, what we offer to God needs to be the things that He asks us to offer. But when we offer up to God in our life offerings of righteousness, that simply means that what we offer to God is in keeping with what God asks us to offer and instructs us to offer and requires us to offer. That we're offering the correct thing in the proper way at the proper time and as often as He asks us to do it today. That's a pleasant thing when we offer up to God the things that we're supposed to be offering up to Him. It may be in our service to Him in what we do for other people. It may be in our service to Him and what we do when we come together to worship God. It may be in our service to Him when we offer up our contributions to Him, whether it be monetarily or the use of our talents. It's a pleasant thing to see people giving offerings to God that are righteous, that are out of righteousness, according to God's will. So, the lesson this evening may be a little bit different than what we normally study. But the Bible does talk about numerous things. There was one or two more that we could have mentioned that I didn't. But pleasant things. So as we go forward this week, the Lord's willing, if we live and we go about our lives at home and at work and the community, wherever it is, when we have a bad day or when we're not having a bad day, let's think about that the Bible does mention pleasant things. And it's up to us as people, as Christians, to make our lives and the lives of others around us as pleasant and good as possible. And we can do that by obeying God and doing His will and doing what's right. Are we doing that? Are our lives as pleasant as they ought to be? I have a last question. The Bible speaks of these things and the unity of the believers will be the last one. Unity of believers, wisdom and knowledge, and then some people we talked about, Jonathan, and all these things we talked about this evening. These are things the Bible speaks of as being pleasant. So what I need to ask myself and you'd ask yourself is my life as a Christian an example of a person who's pleasant to be around? Is my life as a Christian, is it such that someone would say of me, he's a good and pleasant person? Are we doing the things in our life that God would have us to do so that we are good and pleasant in our life? Let's work toward that goal. If you're here this evening and you're not a Christian, then if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're willing to confess that and repent of your sins and be baptized, you can have your sins washed away this evening. And that'd be a good and pleasant thing to rejoice about, the forgiveness of sins. Maybe you're here this evening and there's something in your life you need to correct. If you need to correct it publicly, go to God in prayer and we can assist you in that. We're going to be led in the invitation song. And if you need to respond, please do so at this time.